Thank you. Right, good morning. As Jo said, a few weeks ago, I shared some stuff that God had put on my heart about do we live as victims or victors, which if you haven't heard it, you want to hear it, it is on the website, but it might put this into a little bit more context. So I'll recap really briefly for those of you who might not have heard that. One day God just gave me those two words, victim, victor. And although we know, technically, that we can live in victory because of Jesus, because of what Jesus did on the cross, that we are more than conquerors, that we are overcomers, there can be areas in our lives where we don't actually live in victory, that we can still live as victims and in prisons too. So a definition of victor, a person who has overcome or defeated an adversary, a conqueror, a winner in any struggle or contest. Now that's what Jesus did for us. He made us winners. He defeated the enemy. He defeated everything that we could live in his victory. A victim, a person who has come to feel helpless and passive in the face of misfortune or ill treatment. A person who is tricked or duped. A person who is harmed or injured. Now that's how we were before we realized who we are in God. We lived as victims, and we have an enemy who wants to keep us living as victims, even though as Christians, victory is ours. So even after knowing God, we are all in a process of restoration. We're in a process that we work out our salvation every single day. God wants to do stuff in us. He wants to heal us, restore us, set us free. And we have areas that we may not be free in, that we may feel trapped. We are unique. Every single person in this room is unique, is precious. We all have a story to tell. We are all different. My life may look nothing like your life, but our integral needs that God placed on the inside of us are the same. Those needs to be loved, to be accepted, to be cherished, to be safe, to be provided for, to feel like we belong. Those are the things that God put on the inside of us when he created us in his heart in eternity. His heart is that we would be born into this realm, born into a family that would display that, that would introduce us to him as our loving father. For most of us, dare I say all of us, that's where things start to go wrong, because we are all broken. We are all wounded. And in my life, when I look at my children, and I loved them the best that I could be, and I was the best mum possible, but my brokenness wounded them. My mum, her brokenness affected me. Her mum, her brokenness affected her. We are all affected by brokenness because we were born into a fallen world. Now, God's heart is to bring restoration to us, to the world, to all things. But we are here in that process, and we are all in different places, but God is for us, God has got us, and he wants to move us forward. So wounds affect us. They can start early. We can have come from a dysfunctional family. For some of us here, we may never have known love. We may never have felt accepted. We may have faced abuse, whether it's emotional, physical, mental, sexual, broken promises, things said that were unkind, things not said that we may have needed to hear. Our families are integral in those early days. Our belief and our value system, they form from our early environment, from our childhood. What we see, what we hear, what we experience. At this stage, things aren't right or wrong for us. They're just the normal. It's just life. It shapes our character and it shapes our expectation. We may have had a very positive start in life, cocooned, nurtured, loved, but at some stage we face the world. We face an environment outside of that, and then other influences affect us. And recently I've been thinking about this quite a lot because we have a new baby granddaughter who is 5 weeks old now, 5.5 weeks old in fact, and everything at this stage revolves around her. She is loved. She is precious, she's cocooned, her every need is being met. And I look and you think, how can things go so wrong? But at some point, they do. Because we face an environment that is not just like that because of the world that we live in. So even the best start in life, or the worst start in life, however you would see yours, at some point we get hurt, we get wounded, we get let down. Something happens that causes us pain. Now, ideally, if we knew what we know now, we can deal with these things because God gives us the tools. We know that forgive and release sets us free, brings healing and restoration. But we're talking about our early childhood. We're talking about those experiences before we know what to do, and wounds go deep down on the inside. So roots not dealt with, hurts, they go down deep, and we carry the pain. And when we don't know what to do with it, and more things happen, it just builds layer upon layer. And we have to live, life goes on. We just get on with it. But underneath the surface, deep down in our souls, that's where the damage resides. That's where it sits. And that's where the trauma resides. Trauma, a type of damage to the psyche that occurs as a result of a severely distressing event. Now, we all go through trauma. And sometimes we can look and we can see some people and you think, gosh, they've been through a lot. It's really irrelevant. What happens in my life and how that affects me, it's what's relevant to me. So trauma of any description that occurs in my life is what I need to be able to deal with. And we have to find a way of coping. And we all do that. As I said, life goes on. But those roots that go down deep on the inside of us, those wounds that we don't know how to deal with, they produce fruit that grows. And the fruit is the stuff that we see on the outside of people. So it could be some people are angry, or some people are bitter, or some people are prickly, or resentful, fearful, anxious. Those are the things that we can see on the outside. For some people, you don't necessarily see very much because they just hide it, they bury it, they lock it up, and they throw away the key so the damage is unknown. For some, so painful, it causes part of us to be affected so that we shut down, we get stuck, we get fractured. We can have bits of us on the inside that get fractured and fragmented. Some even can remain at the age of trauma and you can't move on. Now, have good news, because that's a bit gloom and doom, wasn't it? Jesus is the answer to this. Jesus loves us so much. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is love. And we can invite him into those deep places of pain. We can meet with Jesus and ask him to minister, to bring healing. Even those areas of us that are stuck, he wants to bring healing and restoration. We need to be whole. That's God's intention. Not rubbed, not half, not part, whole. So all of those fragmented bits, those wounds, they need to be healed, restored, and reconciled so that we can be the whole person that God's created us to be. God's desire, more than anything else, is that we know him, that we know how much he loves us, how precious we are to him. From that place, he opens up a whole new world to us where we can live a supernatural lifestyle, have an access to heaven and all its resources to equip us for our destiny. Because every single person has a destiny, a purpose that God has chosen us for. But how many of us are fulfilling that fully? Or do we live under our circumstances and situations of life? God's resources for us are limitless. The plans he has for us, he will enable us to fulfill. And Jesus is our point of contact to knowing God. He dealt with sin, our lost identity, on the cross so that we can be restored and reconciled to God and know him as our daddy. Not some distant deity up there somewhere who's angry with a big stick waiting to beat us, but to know him as our daddy. And for some, you might think, I don't want to know him as my daddy. But that's where we need his healing and his restoration, so that we can know him as he truly is. Nothing can stop that. Nothing can stop us, separate us from God's love. Jesus did everything necessary. He gave himself freely because he loved us so much. His death and resurrection defeated death and everything that goes with it. Fear, sickness, any form of ill health in our body, soul, and mind. Whatever wounds we carry, Jesus has already paid the price for and wants to bring healing to us individually. Whatever you have had stolen from you, Jesus wants you to have it back. Wherever you're broken, he wants to mend you, that you are completely restored. He went through everything that we can possibly go through so that he can make us restored. The whole world is suffering from our lost identity. But with God, he wants to restore. And the session that Mike is doing is the restoration of all things, which is a little bit bigger than what I'm talking about today. But it starts with me, and it starts with you. And from my and your place of healing, we can go on and see what God wants to do with us. Now, the problem is in all of this, although that sounds amazing, I'm sure you'd have to agree. For some of us, the wounds that we carry prohibit us from letting God in. Because what I'm saying to you is, no matter how deep your pain, no matter how big your wound, no matter what's happened to you, Jesus wants to move and heal you and restore you. Invite God in to your deepest places. But often, those deep wounds involve really being hurt, betrayed, abandoned, rejected, abused in some way. Something that is badly affected at this time will be our trust. Our mistrust comes in, or distrust, as I kept seeing everywhere, which sounds wrong, so I'm going to say mistrust, which causes us to live in fear. If we don't trust, we live in fear. Mistrust, the confident expectation that another individual's motives, intentions, and behaviours are sinister and harmful to me. Mistrust, to be suspicious of, have no confidence in, have doubts about, be wary of, lack of trust. Now, if mistrust or lack of trust is something that I struggle with, I'm going to take steps to reduce that and protect myself. It may be legitimate that I have mistrust. I may well have been let down, rejected, betrayed. There may be all sorts of things that have caused me to mistrust. And I'm not trying to belittle any of those things, believe me. And there may ongoingly be reasons not to trust certain people. We have weird sayings, don't we? I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. It's like, what's that all about? But trust is a really big issue. This is not saying that we should just trust everything and everybody and put ourselves in harm's way. I'm talking about dealing with those things on the inside that lock us up, keep us in prison, and prevent us from our relationship, intimacy with God. Because when we allow God to heal us and restore us, we can trust him for discernment and wisdom about life. And there are some people that you just wouldn't trust with your, you know, if somebody steals from you, you wouldn't trust them with your money, would you? You know, it's not rocket science. We don't leave our brains behind. But there are some situations which have affected us and they cloud how we see the future and they make us see through filters. And God does not want us to see through filters. The first point of mistrust is doubt. Something comes in, we doubt. There's an uncertainty about things, which leads to suspicion, which leads to anxiety, fear, self-protection, and withdrawal. There's a cycle with these things, just like there is with anything else. And what God wants us to deal with is those roots that, I'm going to say flavour our lives, that's the wrong thing, but they taint us. So this is about dealing with areas we have been affected in the past, which have left us living out of our wounds and our pain, so that we can move forward into freedom, removing those hindrances and those blockages. Now, I didn't realise that we were going to have quite so many people here today. I thought Mike was going to be next door. So what I thought would be really good was, what can cause mistrust? What are some of the things? And I thought we'd have a little bit of interaction. So I'm hoping you're going to play with me, even though there's more of us. Because things are different for all of us. So my trusted, does anybody want to be my glamorous assistant? You have to be tall. So what I want to do, just to get so that it's not all coming from me, is what are some of the things that break our trust, that cause us not to trust? And then I want to look at, and how does that leave us? So can we just start up a line down the middle? You can be anonymous and cover up your face like this and just shout out if you want.
Well, I'll shout loud because I won't hear you.
So what do you want on the top of this one?
That side really, just what can cause mistrust? And obviously, I'm not expecting everybody to come from personal experience in a sense of just, you know, shout some things out.
Being left out.
Betrayal.
Broken promises. Fear of rejection.
I'm going to read them in a minute. Okay, no gap. Abandonment, being let down, betrayal, broken promises, fear of rejection.
Gossip.
Abuse.
Unreliability.
False expectations.
It has to be in.
False.
Okay.
How about intuition?
Appearing real. False expectations. Appearing real.
Intuition.
False perceptions as well.
False perceptions.
I did hear it.
Being lied to.
Disappointment.
This one, so I'll say it again, intuition.
Well,
that's the question. Intuition, because I know this guy, and intuitively, I know he's just
okay.
A completely false with person, but it's only an intuition, because his mask is so...
Okay, that's fine, stop there. Anything else?
Trauma.
Quite a big list, isn't it? I'm sure we could go on and on. Is there anything else that's obvious for a minute? If you feel anything else and you think it's relevant, just come up and write it down, okay? On the flip side here, what I want is, how does this leave us?
Afraid. Lonely.
Afraid, lonely, anxious.
Weary.
Wary. W-A-R-Y.
Yeah, that's what
I thought.
Angry.
I know what it is, so I'm thinking, yeah. I keep writing.
Resentful.
Suspicious.
Irritable. I'll get there.
Discontent. Cautious.
Isolated.
Isolated. Depressed.
Defensive.
Really?
Scared.
Bitter. Scared.
Confused.
Gives you the what's the point attitude as well. How you work that.
What's the point will do?
Yeah.
Paranoid.
Cynical.
Sad. Skeptical. Glad I'm not writing that one.
Yeah, I'm apologising now.
SC, I think.
SC.
Skeptical of relationships as well.
Okay.
Amnesia.
Amnesia?
Yeah. Sometimes it causes that you forget how to
Okay. Remember. Amnesia.
Shut down as well. Barriers.
Shut down, build barriers. Okay,
unapproachable.
I mean, this is big stuff, isn't it? This is huge. And again, I'll say the same, if we like leave that there for a minute, but please, if anyone thinks of anything else, come and write it on the board and I'll try not to think you're coming to punch me. You come towards me. So these negative experiences, these things that happen, and these negative reactions, if we don't know how to deal with them, they get buried down on the inside of us, and that's how we learn to live. We live out of that. And the obvious thing is, they're going to cause us to struggle with relationships. Firstly, with each other, but primarily, with all this stuff going on the inside, mistrust. If we don't know how to deal with it, it's going to affect our relationship with God. And when we're hurt like this, we can make in a vows. We can say, I'll never trust anyone again. I'll never let anyone in. We can put up walls. We can build fortresses. We can isolate ourselves. And ultimately, we live in prisons. So we will see God through this filter. So I can tell you how wonderful God is and how much he loves you and how much he'll never let you down and how faithful he is. But actually, if you've got all this going on the inside of you, it's going to be quite hard to take that. What we need to do is we need to meet him face to face. And then that will deal with some of those things. But legitimately, with these things in place, you may think, well, how can I trust God after what I went through? Where was God when I needed him? God did that to me. When this was going on, he didn't do anything. And we can blame God. We see him as unloving and as unkind. And that's what we've been learning over the weeks and weeks and weeks about religion, isn't it? Religion paints this picture of God that he's waiting to punish us with a big stick. We know that that's not the God that we love. He wants us to know him as our daddy. But for many of us, we've believed that lie because it's been our experience in life and we haven't maybe met God and we see God as distant and we doubt and we mistrust him because that's our experience of life and that lines up with it all. In fact, I was thinking about this and doubt and mistrust were sown into Adam and Eve in the very beginning. Let's put my glasses on. I'm just going to read this. From the voice back with Adam and Eve, and it says, of all the wild creatures the eternal God had created, the serpent was the craftiest. Serpent to the woman, is it true that God has forbidden you to eat fruits from the trees of the garden? What's that sowing? Doubt. Is it true? Eve, no serpent, God said we are free to eat the fruit from the trees in the garden. We are granted access to any variety and all amounts of fruit with one exception, the fruit from the tree found in the centre of the garden. God instructed us not to eat or touch the fruit of that tree or we would die. Die? No, you'll not die. God is playing games with you. This is the voice version, by the way. The truth is that God knows the day you eat the fruit from that tree, you'll awaken something powerful in you and you'll become like him, possessing knowledge of both good and evil. So, at the very beginning, the enemy has set out to cause us to doubt and mistrust God. And that, when they obviously bought that lie, is where our lack of identity, our lost identity with God, caused us to be separated. God is love. He wants us to know that love intimately. We are precious to him. He delights in you. There are various verses that I'm just going to quote bits from the verses. I'm not going to go into all of the references, but I've got them here if you want them. This is one. It's a good one. As a man delights over his new wife, so your God will delight over you. Now we can see that in evidence, in practice, and it's beautiful to watch. Well, that's how God's, and much, much more, that's how God feels about each one of us. If you watch The Shack, there's a line in there which is amazing, which God says, I'm particularly fond of you. We could say that God thinks you're the best thing since sliced bread. Another one. If God had a fridge, your picture would be on the front. If God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. God totally loves you. He could not love you anymore. In our life experience, we would be saying, what's the catch? What's the catch? There is no catch. In life, we have to earn acceptance. We strive for love from our parents, our teachers, our friends. That may be our experience. But Titus 3:7 tells us Jesus made us acceptable to God on the cross. It's done. It's finished. God sees us now through Jesus. We are unconditionally loved by God. Not, I love you when you, I love you if you. God just loves you. God is love. How can I trust God after what I've been through? This is where our wounds will kick in. The Bible says God is faithful. He will not let you down. He cannot lie. His loving kindness never ceases. His compassion never fails. That we can firmly assume what God has promised he was able to perform. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Not one good promise which the Lord made to the house of Israel failed to come to pass. We need to know this on the inside of us. It's not enough to just hear it out here. We need this truth, this life, this love on the inside in our knower that we can live out of. What the Bible says, what God says, often hits against our mindsets and our experience. Because we've had many years of just having to look after ourselves and get on with it. And we need to meet love. We need to meet Jesus face to face so that we can bring that on the inside of us. We are made of body, soul, and spirit. Spirit is where God lives, on the inside of us. Our body is the physical part of us, and our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, it's the you that has learned to live. That's where we've had to be in control. That's where we've had to rule from the outside in. From young, in our families, we learn behaviours, we learn patterns, we learn everything from what we see demonstrated around us from the outside, and we learn that, and it becomes who we are. In God, it's the opposite way around. We need to learn from the inside, from God transforming us and changing us and healing us and restoring us on the inside, and let that shape who we are, how we function, how we think, and how we live. And that's quite a change. So we need to learn to live from our spirit. But what we have learned to do is live from our soul. And that can often form quite a battle, because we've had to live from our soul, and that's where we learn to cope. But our soul is what gets broken. Our soul is where we're fragmented and wounded. It's where our pain resides, and we develop mindsets to cope. and we just get on with life. Everything affects how we see God and how we relate to him. So if I've had to protect myself, if I'm the only person that's going to do it, I will think, well, I need to look after me because no one else will. If I've been betrayed, I will have huge mistrust issues. If I've been abandoned, I'll feel lost and alone and isolated. And all this is ripe for what we now call the DIY path. It's that I'll do it myself way because I'll do it best. If I look after me, at least I'll know what's going on. So I need to look after myself. So my question to you is, how's that going? How's that worked out for you? Have you done a good job? Because we will live out of all that wound and pain on the inside. We have a door on the deep inside of us, in our spirit, in that deepest part of it, which we call our first love gate, that most deep part. And God wants access there so he can dwell on the inside of us. He can dwell there. We can meet him there. And from that place, he can flow out into other areas of our lives. He wants us to know him as Daddy, intimately, to flow out of life with him. Often, if we talk about a first love, it's the place where we got hurt first. It's the place where we can be most wounded. And we can see that first love gate sometimes, and it can be locked, slammed shut, padlocked, thorns, thistles. Thrown the key away. Nobody's going to get that in there. I don't trust anyone with my deepest places. But then we won't trust God. For some of us, we can see our heart. It can be broken. It can have an arrow through it. No way am I letting anyone in there. With it closed, we let God keep God out, and we keep people out. And we live as islands, which is never God's intention for us. So when life circumstances don't add up with what God says, we have a choice. What are we going to do? You can say, well, I'm not going to deal with it. I'll stay the same. We don't stay the same. Because we get deeper wounds. We get more layers and layers of hurt. And we get more and more imprisoned. Or we can say, I'm going to let God transform me and bring me into healing and to freedom. Usually on the deep inside places in those wounds, there is an area of unforgiveness. There's normally something that has happened that we feel owed, that there has been a debt, where we have been wronged in some way. And that can cause us, even thinking about it, talking about it, you can still feel sick in the pit of your stomach, even though it can have been years ago. You can feel raw. Things can trigger you, and emotions that can appear out of control because they're stuck. We can get stuck in the past. We can't change what's happened to us. We can change our future. We can walk through it with Jesus. We can no longer need to be prisoners of our past because Jesus has done everything for us to be free. The issue is, can I dare to trust God? Can I let God in? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's something as Christians that God requires of us. Trust me in everything. That can be a little bit tricky sometimes. Why would I relinquish it? Why would I let God in? Why would I risk this? Because you're bonkers not to. Because what's the alternative? We stay in our pain. We stay where we are. God wants all of you, including your broken bits, even your broken bits, mostly your broken bits, so that he can turn them around. God's heart for us is complete peace. Nothing broken, nothing missing. To live out of a flow of life through us, that we can know him, that we have access to heaven, and we can learn to live from there. Live from who he says you are. Be defined by what God says about you, not how life has shaped you, not by your circumstances, not by your past. Let him in. He's knocking. What stops you? Arguments in your head. If he's really good, can I trust him? Will he be there? Will he come through for me? What if I let him in and he lets me down? I have to look after me. No one else will. Those are things that will be going on. If those are things in your mind, then you need to identify you have trust issues. And God wants to move and he wants to set you free. What is your expectation of life? Is it to be blessed, to live in abundance, to live in health, well-being, to know that you're loved, to live a full life, to fulfill your destiny? Or is it to be let down? Is it for things to go wrong? God says, I will never leave you, never forsake you. I will remember your sins no more. The names of God, again, we could have a big list and we could go through them, that he is our forgiver, our deliverer, our safe place, our refuge, our strength, our comfort, our healer, our provider. We could go on and on. They're just names unless we take them for ourselves and live out of them on the inside. And that's his heart for us, to meet him in his name so that it becomes reality for us. Whatever we need, you can find in God. When we don't find it in God, we look for it somewhere else. And that's the DIY route. We need to find it in God. People will always let us down. People will always let you down. People will always let me down. Because we're in a process of moving forward with God, and we do things that hurt people. We don't mean to, we just do. And we need to find a way that we can deal with it so that it doesn't affect us anymore. God wants to give us our value, our worth, our identity, our esteem, our value, everything he wants to do so that our relationships enhance that. Because nothing else will make for what God wants to give us. God wants us to be a community of people who demonstrate who he is to each other through love. So we need to learn to do that. And we're only going to do it if we deal with our deep issues of rejection, mistrust, betrayal, because otherwise we live in suspicion. This is a big thing. I may well let you down. I can tell you I don't mean to. But when we live in a place of mistrust, you'll suspect my motives, you will judge me, you'll be suspicious of me, you'll be wary of me, all of those things. And God wants us to demonstrate his love, who he is. And we can only do that from a place of healing and wholeness. We find it difficult, impossible. We don't trust anyone. We won't want to be in relationship. We won't give of ourselves. We won't think the best. It's another reason that we really need to deal with roots. It's not always easy to deal with this stuff. God was talking to me recently, something happened, and I got a bit stuck with some mistrust stuff again recently. And, you know, God said, you need to be free to be hurt. It's like, no, it shouldn't be hurt. It shouldn't hurt me. He's like, well, if you deal with your roots on the inside, they won't. Because there won't be anything for it to tap into. And where God wants us to be is so that we are so healed that if somebody does something and it causes hurt, we can immediately deal with it and it doesn't send us back into a past pain. I'm not in that place, I just like to say, but I am a work in process and I am moving forward. I don't want to stay isolated in prison. As I say, recently something happened and it caused me to react in a way that I would have previously reacted. It was to be suspicious, mistrustful, or to isolate myself, I'll withdraw. That's it then, I'm off emotionally. Fortunately, God didn't let me, and he put my arm up my back, and I needed to deal with some stuff. And do you know what? I actually needed to speak to someone, and I needed to get it out there, because in a community of people who love each other, we need to be for each other. But our heads get in the way, and our emotions can rule us. So this is big, and I know that it's big, but it's on God's heart. At the moment, it's on God's heart. Mistrust is something that God really wants to deal with. We need to understand that we have an enemy who is at work, who wants to divide. He wants to bring disunity, disharmony. He wants to isolate. He wants us to not be for each other, but to be against each other. We can't let him. We can't let him. We are all too precious. God's placed us here for a purpose. He's put us in community, whether you're actually here or not here. You're here today, so I'm trusting that God will show you something that you can bring, have healing and restoration in your own lives, because God has placed jewels on the inside of us for us to give away, to be a blessing to others. Let's not let any of this stuff get in the way. So what does that look like today? Ask God. If you feel there may be an area, where did that trust first get broken? What is the root? Where did that first happen? Might be Do I have trust issues? Because you might not think that you do. You might not. Wonderful. But I can't be in unity and harmony with suspicion and mistrust in operation on the inside of me, because I will just be fearful of being hurt all the time. It's not about blind faith, as I've said before. We need wisdom, God's wisdom, and he will guide us and lead us. Are there some areas that you don't trust God with? Ask him to show you. Because God says he knows the plans he has for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. Do you believe that? Do you know that in your knower, deep on the inside of you? So for today, what does that look like? Well, we're going to play some of Sam's music in a minute, which we know has an anointing frequency to enable us to just step into the presence of God. Do you need to deal with yourself? Do you trust yourself? Do you always let people down? Forgiveness is at the root of really moving forward in everything. So ask God to show you where your trust was broken. Then decide to deal with it. Decide to forgive and release. That means acknowledge what happened. Acknowledge the effect it had on you. It can be really painful to do this. But by cancelling that, you're saying, God, I will not live in this anymore. And you're inviting God in to deal with that pain. You don't want to live in suspicion, self-protection mode, keeping people at a distance. If you've made vows, you may need to renounce them. Own your part. Acknowledge how you have acted in this. Recently, I had a bit of an engagement with the cross, this cross here. And I've always seen it as, you know, let's write things down. We've got pens, we've got paper. If there are things that you need to let go of, write them down and pin them on the cross. And a few weeks ago, I was looking at it, and it was a portal. And it was like, it's not a cross, it's a portal. It's a place of exchange. And anything that you want to bring or get rid of, it's like you can exchange it for the opposite in God. And what I actually saw, as someone pinned something on it, they actually stepped through into the opposite, into the restoration. And I just feel today that this is like a portal here. That we can, you don't actually have to go there necessarily, but around here, if there's something you need to do to let go of, to exchange, actually step through into that portal and see restitution and restoration in your life. It may be as we play this music, I don't know where people are in their engagement and encounter with God, but I would just encourage you to close your eyes and just step into the heavenly realms and to just see Jesus there waiting for you. Maybe he needs to take you by the hand and lead you somewhere. Maybe I often see Jesus and he holding a big basket and I put things in it and I let them go and I'm no longer carrying them because I've given them to Jesus. Maybe you need to write things down and you need to pin them to the cross. Maybe you need to hand them to Jesus. Maybe you need to invite him into a situation of your past. Maybe there's something that has happened and you feel stuck that you can't get beyond. Jesus can come into that pain with you and he can walk you through that into healing and to fullness. If you need some help, ask. There are plenty of us here who could stand with you and pray with you. Maybe you need God to embrace you. You just need a hug from God, and in that place, sometimes in a hug, you can let things go. I'm not trying to be prescriptive. I'm just saying this time, it's just open. Let's just engage with God as our Father, with Jesus, and allow him into that pain that we carry. And let's let go of mistrust and the effects that it's had in our life. I just encourage you to continue in that place if God is showing you anything. As we worship together now, if you need to actually outwork anything, or you need to, you know, just continue on your journey with what God is doing with you. And if you need to get pens and papers, then they're over there.